Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And if you want to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just thank you for the chance you give us to be able to be a blessing and encouragement to people and point people to Christ, and just pray that you bless our program tonight. And again, if there's somebody that's searching, that we could be a help to them and they might find Christ as their Savior. We might encourage believers in their walk with you. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been kind of nice around here today, you know, having sort of a little break in the weather. It's been a little bit less in terms of the frigid weather and a little bit of January thaw here in northeastern Ohio. But boy, I had some snow coming up here on the highway tonight in spots further south. And, this is the time of year. I was at church this morning and I was asking people, I said, did you get any rain at your house last night? And everybody knows by now at our church that I really like to follow the weather. I think maybe if things had worked out differently, I might have liked to have gotten into meteorology and become, working with the weather. I mean, after all, what other job can you get that pays so well when you're wrong so consistently? But I like following the weather. Got one of those little weather stations that sits out in the yard, you know, where the little thing spins and it has a wireless connection, tell you what the temperatures are and the rain. And I was working on some stuff last night, getting ready for church today. And I looked over there at one point, and it was about midnight, and I noticed that we had some rain showing up in the rain gauge. And by the time I got up in the morning to get ready for church, we had nearly a quarter inch of rain. I thought, wow, that's something. And not snow, but rain. We've been having so much snow, it seems like, here in the last couple of weeks, but rain instead. And that's the way it goes here. You get this, I like weather. Weather is that type of thing. You don't know whether it's going to rain, it's going to snow, it's going to be dry, it's going to be sunny, it's going to be cloudy, or if it'll do all those things or not. See, that's weather. Climate, and I've lived where they have climate. Climate is when you're pretty consistent. You know what it's going to be. When my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, we had climate because when we got down there, we would ask people if they knew what the weather report was, and people would look at us strange. And then after we were there for a couple of months, we realized the weather report was about the same every day. It was going to be a high perhaps in the upper 80s and a low in the upper 70s and a chance of rain and winds blowing breezy and gusting up to maybe 20 miles an hour or so. And that was just about every day's weather year or weather forecast year round. So that was climate. You were pretty consistent. You knew what it was going to do. But there's some places around like Northeast Ohio, you have weather. You don't know whether it's going to do anything that's predicted or not. But at any rate, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, that's probably enough about weather, I guess, right now. But you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. And I believe we've got some people trying to call in right now, and I think we've got Ken on the line. If Ken's ready, we'll go ahead and jump right to the phones here tonight. Ken, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hello, do we have Ken?
Yes, hi, hey. Pastor Al. How you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Yeah, right. I got a wrong number. And I hit your number, and I talked to Kim for a short, briefly. Did she tell you about it?
Oh, okay. That must have been, earlier, no.
I had called the doctor, and that's the reason I couldn't talk.
Oh, well, we're glad you got through. What's your question for us tonight?
Oh, What is that number that you have, a secondary? I was calling in, and I missed that
one. Oh, for the radio program here?
901 or something like
that? Yeah, there's, well, the toll-free number is 888-677-9673, and there's also a local number, 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. And
the last
number
four are 0093?
0933.
The 10933. I haven't dialed that number for 0933. That's pretty nice, because if you're living in a 216 area code, you know.
Right. Yeah, but you can get it anywhere. Sometimes people with cell phones, they don't care whether it's a toll-free 888 or not. But but I usually give out the 888 number because some people... Sure. Yeah, they have the landlines, but you know, it's great because we were talking about technology at church and the, you know, just the way that we can reach people around the world. I mean, right now while we're on the phone, you know, not only the radio through the airwaves, and that's tremendous to have the airwaves you know, to broadcast on through you know, our local station here, AM 1220 WHKW. Radio, mm-hmm. as well as, of course, down in Florida, Tampa area, and I had the numbers there at Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. I always tried to double check that, or I'm going to give the wrong call letters there and get them mixed up. You know, it's amazing. And then through the internet, and I encourage people, if you're in Florida, you can go to letstalkfaith.com. Mm-hmm. That's the website down there, letstalkfaith.com. And you can, they live stream their programming down there, as does the station up here, whkwradio.com. They also live stream. And mm-hmm. Through that, we can literally communicate, you know, the truths of God's word to people around the world. And it's just amazing when you think about the technology that God has allowed us to develop so that we can do these things. And then, of course, through our website at livewithpastoral.com, you know, we record these programs and we make them available at livewithpastoral.com. People can go there and listen to past programs, or if they can't hear the entire program. So, yeah,
well,
it
was
amazing.
I was on there for the radio there with you. You still relieve you, you might say, because I was after you early in the morning. And I know all about that, and they had it even then, and that was, let's see, it's 4 years, and it went out in 2008. I think it was almost in autumn. And then that'd be going on 8 years ago. Wow, how time flies, right?
Yeah.
So, I told everybody just what you're doing. That was way back then. Yeah. You'd think that that would have caught on by now, but people, for some reason, the reason I found out this one book, and I don't call in for questions anymore, is, well, I'll tell you, I do once in a while, but it's usually for some political agenda that they're putting out about the Muslims, which he doesn't talk about. This is Dr. Sorensen, S-O-R-E-N-S-O-N. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah, David, I'm not 100% familiar with the name right up top of my head. I may have seen it
before.
Sword
of the Lord, right? The newspaper there?
Sword of the Lord, yeah.
You know, and that paper,
oh, okay, I know who you mean now.
And I don't know, was that, they're $300 for what it started at, like $200, then $250, $300. I think it's up to about $350.
Yeah. Hey, Ken, I hate to interrupt you, but I do have another caller calling in. So,
okay, now that's the thing. If anybody gets on that book, see, they call you still on these issues, but he has a way to answer every.
Well, and of course, the way to do it is to
hook it up with
You know, just you stick with the Bible, and that's what we try to do, give biblical answers there. Hey, Ken, I'm going to have to move along. I apologize, but we've got some other callers calling in, and I appreciate your call tonight. And again, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And thanks again, Ken. And we've got John calling in here tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Okay. Yeah, I just got to thinking, if, since you like climate, Al Gore's looking for a few good men.
Well, not sure what to make of that one, really, about it. But, you know, it's amazing. I read in the news this past week that they're trying to claim that 2014 was the hottest year since they've been keeping records.
Right.
And it, besides the fact that that we had such cold weather at the beginning of the year and the snow cover back in September of this year on the North American continent was the most extensive it ever was since they've been keeping records. And the Arctic ice was the thickest that it's been in a number of years. And then I read something actually just last night that said that they're actually only 38% sure that it was the warmest year on record. I thought, well, that's kind of silly. But, you know, God has his plans, and the Bible says that as long as God wants, it's going to continue seed time and harvest. It's going to continue summer and winter, you know, and we're going to see that until the time of the end. And then there'll be some global warming because Peter writes that the heavens melt with a fervent heat. So,
well, I was going to ask you about that. Talking about heat, I was going to ask you your thoughts on the last verse of Hebrews chapter 12.
All right, let me turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 here. Hebrews chapter 12, give me just a moment here. And you said the last verse here?
Yes.
Our God is a consuming fire.
What do you make of that?
Okay, first thing I would make of that is a segment of a sentence, and the sentence starts, let's see, in verse number 28. The whole sentence is Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, so let's put it in the sentence. It says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." And that right there, let me just check something. I believe that's a quote from the Old Testament here. And
okay.
I believe it's in, let me see if this is where I'm thinking. I was looking at a note here in the margin of my Bible, and I've noted here Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's see if that's what this is. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and down to, let's see, verse number 24. And actually, let's go back up to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and let's start in verse number 23. We read, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." And he goes from that point here to warn them against idolatry, and that if they fell into idolatry, that God would visit judgment upon them. And in fact, in verse 27, he said that they'd be scattered among the nations. And so, yeah, in Hebrews chapter 12, since it's referring to this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we see the idea God presented as a consuming fire. You know, what is a consuming fire? If you've ever seen a forest fire or a grass fire, you know, prairie fire or something,
right.
when the fire gets burning, it consumes everything in its path. And that's what happened to Israel when they descended into idolatry and they turned their back on God. When God brought judgment on them, you know, he was a consuming fire. He consumed the entire nation and drove them out of the land and into the captivity where they remained for 70 years. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, it says he's a consuming fire, excuse me, even a jealous God. And he will not tolerate idolatry. He will not tolerate people who reject him. And so he's an all-consuming fire in that sense, that his wrath, his judgment is going to be satisfied, not in the sense that God himself is literally a fire, but it's equating the judgment of God and the wrath of God to like what happens where a fire goes through. And I've been through areas in the Rocky Mountains where a forest fire has gone through. I've actually worked on a forest fire in the Colorado Rocky Mountains, and it was not a consuming fire by any means. It was just a small one, and it was just kind of sporadic. But I've been through some areas in the Roosevelt National Forest just south of Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado where several years previously there'd been consuming fires where everything, the trees, everything was consumed, and the only thing that was left was some charred stubs. Right. And it affects everything, nothing could escape it. And
I guess I was wondering if you felt that that had some reference to hellfire.
No, I think this is talking, the ultimate result, of course, would be the unsaved person is cast into hell. But I think it's referring more to God and his wrath and his judgment, and nobody's going to escape it. The Jewish people, for instance, the Hebrews, they did not escape it. It might have been put off for a period of time. For instance, King Manasseh, who at first was one of the most wicked kings that the southern kingdom of Judah ever had, God allowed him to be taken into captivity by the Assyrians, who actually put him in jail in Babylon. That was a picture of the coming Babylonian captivity. And while he was there, he put his faith in Jehovah God. And as a result, he repented, and God delivered him from prison, sent him back to the land, and he resumed his throne as king over the southern kingdom of Judah. And he led the nation in a revival, and God delayed the judgment for a time. But if you study the book of Jeremiah, you see Jeremiah starting in his ministry in the days of King Josiah when they were having a tremendous revival. But God told him that the judgment was coming. And over the course of Jeremiah's ministry, as you read the book of Jeremiah, you see that the people, after Josiah is gone, the people reject God. They turn to idolatry. God tells Jeremiah at one point, stop praying for them because they're going to be judged. And the nation was consumed. They experienced God as a consuming fire. And the entire nation, just like the northern kingdom at the hand of the Assyrians, was totally consumed as well. So, yes, I think it's more applying to during this world, the judgment of God when he brings judgment upon people who have rejected him.
Would you say that it has any reference to 2 Peter?
Are you talking about in 2 Peter where it talks about the end of the ages when the heavens melt with fervent heat? No, that's later on, and the that takes place at a date in the future that at any given time I can safely say is at least 1,007 years, because there's a tribulation period of 7 years, and then there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and at the end of that time, the final battle there in Revelation chapter 21 or 20, I believe it is, where the devil is allowed out of his prison for a short time, and then he's cast into the lake of fire. And then that's where we get to the new heaven and the new earth in the book of Revelation. And that's what Peter's work talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3, where he says in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And he says, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And then he says in verse 13, nevertheless, according to his promise, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And you see that reflected over in Revelation chapter 21, where it starts out with.
Is it your belief then that during the 1,000 years that it'll still be the old heavens and the old
absolutely.
Earth?
Oh, absolutely. Because the 1,000-year reign of Christ takes place after the tribulation. And during that time, Jesus will rule and reign over this world, and the devil will be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. And then after that takes, after he's released and stirs up a final rebellion in Revelation chapter 20, that's why I said Revelation 21 starts with, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And my thought, and again, I'll preface this, this is my thought, this present universe, this present world is tainted with the effects of sin, and God's going to cleanse it and restore it back to the way that it was originally created to be. That's my thought.
Well, do you feel that that's what the purpose of the 1,000 years is?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, the 1,000 years is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Most notably, I can think of Daniel chapter 9, and there's other passages in Ezekiel and elsewhere where Jesus is actually going to come. Remember the Jewish people, when Jesus came the first time and they welcomed him on that Palm Sunday, they were expecting, many of them expected him to set up his kingdom and
right.
to rule and reign, defeat the Romans, and elevate Israel to be the number one nation in the world, you know, that basically would be above all others.
Right.
And that's not happened yet. That'll happen after the tribulation when Jesus Christ returns, Revelation chapter 19, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he establishes a kingdom over the entire earth. Then, of course, the devil is out of the picture for that period of time. But there are people who are born on earth during that time. Their parents are those that survived the tribulation as believers in Christ as the Messiah. And those people will be like we are today. They will have a body with a sin nature. And many of them will be stirred up by the devil when he gets out of the bottomless pit at the end of the millennium to try one final failed attempt to unseat God. We, on the other hand, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in heaven during the tribulation period, prior to the tribulation, and we'll receive a new body, a resurrected body, an incorruptible body without a sin nature. And we'll be on earth during that time as well. We won't have the sin nature, but the people who survive the tribulation, they will. They'll marry, they'll have children, and they'll be having children. And those
right.
children will have a sin nature because they will not have had their resurrected body yet.
So, I've always been puzzled that when the rapture occurs and people go to heaven, once you're in heaven, why would a person want to come back to earth?
Well, because the Bible says that's what we're going to do. Our time in heaven during the tribulation is for a couple of reasons. One is that we're not appointed under wrath, but it's also a time where we'll receive reward, and we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can see that actually early in Revelation chapter 19. And then after all of that, we'll accompany him back to the earth. And the Bible talks about believers ruling and reigning with Christ. And so as a result, we will be here during that messianic reign here on earth. And that's for 1,000 years.
So it would almost be like a duty?
No, not if it's a duty to you, that's a matter of opinion. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, right now, I enjoy serving God. I don't consider it onerous. We use words and they have definitions and connotations, and duty kind of almost has a connotation of, well, I have to do it. And
I can't imagine giving up heaven to return to earth.
Well, but we're returning to the earth with the Lord, and
yeah.
we're a part of his government, and we're here to, serving with him. And we'll probably still have access to heaven. And, you know, we will be freed from the sin nature. I was starting to say a moment ago, I enjoy serving God right now, but, you know, I'm plagued with a body of flesh, that flesh and blood, with a sin nature. Right. You know, I have, you know, imperfections, believe it or not. Even my wife will admit that I have imperfections. But that's why the Lord gave her to me, to try to straighten some of those things out. But no, I just can't hardly imagine what it'll be like to serve God without the imperfections that I now currently have, without the sin nature that I now currently have, to be able to serve God without doubt, to be able to serve God without second-guessing Him. I mean, just it'll be fantastic.
When you come back to Earth, will you have to eat bread and water?
If you want.
Oh, it would be an option then?
Well, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot. And actually, John, you bring up a great question, which I might deal with in the next segment.
Okay.
We're about out of time right
here. I'll let you go then.
And I appreciate the question there, but you do bring up a great question. And Ezekiel describes the millennial kingdom as a place where we'll be eating fish, because it describes fishermen fishing during the millennial kingdom in a river that comes out from the area of the temple and goes down and brings healing to the waters of the Dead Sea, which means that the Dead Sea will become certainly considerably less salty than it is right now. Hey, we might talk about this more later on, but stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Oh, Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us there. And we were talking at church today about just how our church, as small as it is able to sponsor this program. And it's just amazing. We were talking in Luke chapter 21 about the poor widow woman who cast the two mites into the treasury, and Jesus said that she gave more than all the rich people did because they gave out of their abundance, and she gave out of all her living, and she gave it gladly, apparently, because the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, and Jesus commended her for it. And I was commending our church, that as small as we are, we're able to do this and not have to get on the air and beg for money all the time. And I said, now, of course, if somebody has $1 million check they want to put in the offering, or better yet, $1 million cash, that's great. But, we're just thankful that God provides the needs. But we also have other people that pray for us. And, it's your prayers, I think, that enable us to be able to do this. When I say us, I mean our church, as well as myself and my wife, because it's a group effort. I tell people oftentimes, when you see people in the ministry, they may look visible, but they're kind of like, if you've ever seen an iceberg, I can remember flying over the North Atlantic when I was in the Air Force, and you look down, you see these icebergs floating around. And when you're looking at an iceberg, you're only seeing a very small percentage of the iceberg. The 10% or so of the iceberg that's above the water is all you see, but there's about 90% of it underwater that makes the 10% to stand up above the water. That 10% wouldn't be there if it weren't for the 90% holding it up. And I feel that way about the radio and about being a pastor. It's kind of like being in the 10% that's being held up by the 90% that pray for us, that enables us to do this. We would not be able to do this. And one thing my wife and I learned as missionaries when we were on deputation, and if you're familiar with the independent Baptist churches, our missions program, we do what's called faith missions. And as a missionary, we had to travel to churches and get meetings with churches, because we're independent churches. I had to contact churches directly and ask if churches would be interested in allowing us to come in and present the burden for our field of service. And then if a church felt like being a part of it, that church would decide to support us on a monthly basis or a bi-monthly basis or something, or maybe with a one-time offering. And that would keep us going. But one of the things that we found by visiting a lot of churches, because a lot of churches were not in a position to support us, but they did promise to pray for us. And we'd even get letters occasionally from people who were praying for us. And, I would tell people, the prayer support is better than the financial support. And it really is, because when you're in a ministry position, especially if you're reasonably visible, you do become a target for the devil. And it can be difficult sometimes, and you need people praying for you. And that's why the biggest thing that we ask from our listeners is that you pray for us. Like I said, if you got $1 million laying around you don't know what to do with, we'll gladly take that, put it in the Lord's work. But the main thing is, we need your prayer support. And you can pray. That just costs time. It just costs a little time and a little effort. And for some people, that's more valuable than money. And I know for us, your time and your effort in prayer is much more valuable than your money. So I ask that the people who listen for us and are blessed by this program, pray for us. And pray for our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, that we can continue to do this. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights as well. Certainly, the owner there, Gus, he prays for us and helps support the program. And that's why I mentioned them. And, of course, he's got some of the best pizza you've ever had. And you can find him in Garfield Heights, Ohio, east side of Cleveland at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. $9,100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5, just $5. Now, obviously, people down in Florida and people in Virginia, people in Tennessee or wherever that are listening either on the air or online are probably not going to drive into East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and I don't think he's going to do a delivery that far as well. But one of the reasons I mentioned that as well is Gus has a tremendous opportunity if somebody wants to get into the pizza business. He will help you out if you contact Gus at East Coast Pizza at 216-241-9100. The best thing you can have for success in a pizza business, other than your hard work, is a great pizza recipe, and he's got it. And he'll help you out, help you get started in your own pizza business. If you're interested in pursuing that, give Gus a call at 216-341-9100. And one of the reasons I mention that is because it'll be a blessing to him, it'll be a blessing to you, and it'll also hopefully be a help to the program in some way as well. Well, at any rate, we're going to get back to our program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, you can always find us online at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find links to some other materials, as well as our Facebook page and past programs. I try to get them loaded up there as well. You can listen to past programs that we've had, and sometimes I have some clips on there pulled out of programs of special topics and things like that, and a variety of things there, livewithpastoral.com. All right, we're going to get back to our program, and we've had Jeremiah patiently waiting for us here. And Jeremiah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, hello, Pastor
Al. Hey, good evening.
Yes, I have three questions. About
yes, sir.
If you can tell me what they have in common.
Okay.
First question is out of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14.
Okay.
Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14.
All right, let me get turned over there.
I have my King James Bible open.
All righty. And I've got a King James Bible open here as well. And I know the reason that you say that, and for our listeners that might be curious, I use the King James. I know Jeremiah does as well. And the reason is it's based on the Hebrew Masoretic text for the Old Testament and the received text for the New Testament. Unlike all of the modern versions that you have out there, including the New King James, the New International Version, New American Standard, English Standard Version, they're all based on different classes of manuscripts that are inferior to the Hebrews Masoretic and the Greek received text. But we kind of digress there a little bit. Isaiah chapter 14, and what verse was that?
14.
And verse 14, talking about we're looking at the sin of Lucifer. And it's actually in the middle of what we call his I wills, his five I wills, that actually starts in verse 13, where he said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. And that's our passage there.
So what is that actually? Next one is Luke chapter 10, verse 18.
All right, Luke chapter 10.
Verse 18.
All right, let me get turned over there. Luke chapter 10.
Because a pastor told me about these scriptures, and I'm just trying to figure out what they have.
Right, right. He said, and I saw unto them, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And that's Jesus speaking.
Okay, last one is Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 29.
Ezekiel chapter 20.
Verse 29.
And verse 29. And here we are. All right, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 29 says, "Then I said unto them, What is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day."
Now, what is all those three verses have in common?
Well, in Isaiah chapter 15, we have the origin of Satan, the fall of Lucifer, and that tells us that God created Lucifer as an incredible being. It was he's thought to be the greatest of the angels that God created, and he's elsewhere described as the anointed cherub which covereth. I believe that's in Ezekiel 28, and which is kind of interesting when you think about it. In Revelation chapter 4, when John is caught up into heaven and he sees the I believe it's four beasts that are creatures that are around the throne of God, circling around the throne of God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And it's thought by some that originally Lucifer might have been a fifth being that was there hovering over top of the throne of God, reflecting God's glory. And that's why Ezekiel 28 calls him the anointed cherub that which covereth. But in Isaiah chapter 14, we see where he was lifted up in pride, and he desired to exalt himself when he was supposed to be giving glory to God. He apparently thought that he deserved glory, and he was going to ascend into heaven. He was going to exalt his own throne above the stars of God and also sit in the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. And then he said he was going to ascend above the heights of the clouds, and then he finally says in verse 14 there, "I will be like the Most High." He convinced himself that he would be what he convinced Eve that she could be in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, that she could be as God is. And so we see his fall there in Isaiah. And then in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is saying that he saw Satan fall. And certainly as God, because Jesus is God, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, manifested in three ways, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just like you and I, you know, you're one person, I'm one person, but both you and I have three parts to our being. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit, and so we're created in the image of God, so that reflects the Trinity there, the Godhead. But so Jesus would have seen Lucifer in his fall, and he would have been cast down from his holy place of reflecting God's glory, and he would have been cast down, and certainly the Bible talks about that in some of these other passages here.
In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 29, the name thereof is called Obama unto this day. Now, I was told by another pastor that President Obama's name.
I'm not so sure I would go with that. For one thing, it is spelt a little bit differently here. And if I remember correctly, his name is, and I'm going to say because it's Obama, is his last name, not Bama. And his name is, I believe, a Kenyan name. And I forget what the language is, because I had seen this one point, because I was asked a question one time, because, you know, what are the odds? People, you know, were kind of amazed that we would have a president with a very Muslim-sounding name, Barack Hussein, but the last name Obama is not a Muslim name. It is a Kenyan name, and it reflects one of the, I believe the tribe that his birth father is from is one of the three largest ethnic groups in Kenya, and that's where the origin of that name comes from.
I wonder why the pastor would think that.
Well, I don't know. A similar sounding name. I have not heard that myself. Certainly, I would not say that President Obama is the devil. Certainly not. I know people speculated that he's the Antichrist, but they also speculated that about President Bush and President Clinton and President Bush before that and President Reagan and President Carter and President Ford. I think anybody who becomes president, it's somewhere in the fine print of the job description that a certain segment of the population will think you're the Antichrist or devil incarnate. It comes with the job.
I mean, all due respects to our president. I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, and I encourage people. The Bible says we should pray for kings and those in authority over us, and that would include presidents, whether we voted for them or not. And we pray at our church every Sunday, every Wednesday, we pray for our president's safety and his salvation, because I see no evidence that he's a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, so we pray for his salvation, because think about it. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and it talks about the people rejoicing when the righteous are in authority, and I think it would be tremendous to have somebody in office come to Christ and become a born-again believer. And not every president that's been in office has been a born-again believer, but most every person running for president at some point or another claims to be a Christian. Bill Clinton claimed to be a Christian, even a Baptist, but when you listen to some of his testimony, I don't believe that the man was saved. And even though he claimed to be a Baptist. The Bible talks about by their fruits you shall know them. And other than the similarity of the name, I don't know that we could take this passage in Ezekiel chapter 20. In fact, when I first read it, I thought maybe you gave me the wrong reference there, because it didn't really seem to go with the other passages. But when you started saying that, I could see where you were going. Every president that I can think of from Nixon up until President Obama, I've seen somebody work it out where they had to be the Antichrist, and they've finagled some way that they could get their name to be the equivalent of 666 and all of that. And quite frankly, and I had this discussion with somebody just at church today, our Friday night Bible study, I can't remember exactly now. I don't think we're going to know who the Antichrist is before he becomes the Antichrist.
Well, we'll be raptured.
Yeah, but even the people that are here, somebody asked me the question. This is the question that was asked. If the Antichrist is alive on the earth today, and I'm inclined to believe that he is, because I don't think we have that much time, but if he is, does he know that he's the Antichrist? That's right. It was after church this morning, because somebody brought up there was a movie back in the 80s called The Omen, which I'm not recommending by any way, shape, or form. But the movie The Omen, and there was a series of them, started with a little boy who was born knowing that he was the Antichrist. And he was just evil, because the reason I remember it was this morning, somebody said, we were saying, how'd you like to have had him in your class as a teacher? hey, how would you put the Antichrist in the corner or send him to the principal? But at any rate, what I'm getting at is the question was, do you think the Antichrist is alive today and knows that he is? And I said, I think that the devil has prepared several people as possibilities in every generation who could potentially be the Antichrist. Because see, here's the key. The devil does not know when the Antichrist is going to come on the scene or when he can be brought onto the scene, because the devil does not know exactly when the rapture is going to take place, and the Antichrist can only be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin as he's described there, can only be revealed when the restraining influence, which is the Holy Spirit working through Christians, is taken away from the world. And at that point, the devil will be able to bring the Antichrist into power. Now, the devil doesn't know when that's going to be. I think, for instance, if we go back, a generation, we could have seen where perhaps the devil was preparing Hitler to be a potential Antichrist. maybe before that, back in the 1800s, he was preparing Napoleon. You know, we can identify people, you know, now that maybe the devil was grooming to be the Antichrist. And like I said, I think he probably has several in each generation because he does not know when he's going to have the opportunity to bring the Antichrist to power. And so he's got to be ready. And I think he's grooming people so that when the time comes and that restraining influence of the Holy Spirit working through the believers in the world is ended when the rapture takes place, then he will be able to bring the Antichrist to power. And one of these people that he's working with will be in the right position at that time. And then that person will become the Antichrist. And I think he will know that he's the Antichrist at that time.
You're answering my question. I appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. And it is an interesting question. People speculate with all kinds of world leaders. When I was in the Samoan Islands, I remember that, and keep in mind, I was there in the 90s when Bill Clinton was president. And somebody came up to me and was trying to convince me that Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan and President George H.W. Bush were collectively the Antichrist. And I said, okay, how so? And they said, well, together they make up the Antichrist. And I said, I wanted to know how. And they said, because they're president. And I said, well, actually, Bill Clinton is president right now. And they said, well, Bill Clinton is like the little boy that was standing there when another little boy threw a rock through the window. And then after he threw the rock through the window, he ran off and he was kind of left there to be caught. It made no sense. See, I think we do ourselves a disservice and we do those around us a disservice when we try to identify the Antichrist before the time. And one of the reasons is when people tried to, and it was all worked out. I heard people on the radio say definitively, Bill Clinton is the Antichrist, and they had it all worked out. And I can remember one guy on the radio, I listened to him right here in northeastern Ohio. A friend of mine were traveling around, and we were actually doing some visitation for the church that I'm now the pastor of. And we were listening to this guy on the radio who said that Bill Clinton was going to declare martial law, would never let there be another election, and he was going to close all the churches and ban Christian radio and everything, and he was going to be the Antichrist. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. And then of course, they turned around and they said, but in the next year, we're going to build new studios for our ministry and send us money generously because we've got tremendous opportunities coming up. I said, wait a minute. On one hand, you said that Bill Clinton's going to declare martial law and become the Antichrist and crack down on all Christian ministries and radio and television. And then on the other hand, you're telling us you're going to build a new studio and excited about tremendous opportunities, which is they're mutually exclusive. It can't be both. Well, obviously, Bill Clinton did not turn out to be the Antichrist, and they looked foolish. They really did, and so I'm not so worried about it because I know I'm going to be in heaven.
I'll talk to you next week, Ben.
Yeah, thank you for the call, and thank you for bringing that up. And see, that's we need to be more focused on getting people saved so that they don't have to be here for the Antichrist to be a concern. Now, we can give the characteristics of the Antichrist in the Scripture, and we don't have time remaining in the program to go through those characteristics, but maybe sometime we'll spend some time on some of those characteristics, but certainly 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a great start, and he will describe himself, he'll declare himself to be God. At one point, that's certainly a big clue as to who the Antichrist will be, and there's other things in there, but he'll be a great, tremendous orator and all sorts of things. But the biggest thing is to point people to Christ, because without Christ, you're not going to make it to heaven, and that's our goal, see people in heaven. We're out of time. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenoel.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.